I don't think any of you have had me in any class yet, have you? So you probably have never met me. I'm Ty Hoffman. I'm sure you already knew that from the records. But we're here for Bio 181, and are you all in the same lecture? Y'all, is it Tuesday, Thursday? Okay. Because I think there's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday also. But anyway, it's the same course either way. 181 is a really important course. It's called general biology, but it's fundamental biology, which does not mean easy. It just means important. It's all the bases on which other biology courses rest. So it's, in a sense, the most important biology course of your career, which is why you should try to make the most of it, get as much as you can out of it, not just the lab, the lecture, because that's really what everything is about. All the other classes relate to 181 in one way or another, 181 and 182, but 181 is different from 182 in scope, right? It's one, the big thing about 181 is that it's at the cellular level. Well, there's actually a chance that you'll take basically the same course three times, or at least twice, because, and I don't mean 181 over and over. Hopefully you don't have to take 181 over and over, but since 181 is at the cellular level, it's not surprising that there's a hell of an overlap, really, between 181 and Bio 353, which is cell biology, right? They really are the same course, almost. You learn it again, and I teach that as well, and I think it's good that you get another chance to go through all this stuff again, because what I notice when I teach 353 is that students don't remember this 181 stuff so well just by learning it once. So it's good that you get a chance to get credit for the same material again, which is important material. And then I also teach biochemistry, which is also a big overlap, because biochemistry is chemistry that's happening inside cells, right? So it's you'll find that the stuff that you learn in 181 keeps coming back as being important in all kinds of courses. So try to maximize your knowledge as you go through this thing. But in here, we're just concerned with the laboratory component, and 100 level classes here work not separately, but combined lecture and lab. So you only get one big grade, right? I don't want to spend a lot of time with introductory material. I'm not going to read the syllabus to you, but I want to say a couple things about it. First of all, has everyone been to that website? Okay. I believe you, but I noticed that not all of you have submitted the rules consent form, which this website tells you to do. Now, many of you have, and that's good. But if you haven't yet, the link is right there. You need to do that today. It's an absolute requirement for getting any credit in this course. So you get zeros until you do that. Do it immediately. Also, make sure that you look throughout that whole website for anything that can help you, like it says as well. So the rules consent form, once you have that, you'll be able to tell that you have that, because if you go to Blackboard to look at your scores, it won't say rules consent form must be submitted. Now, you have to give it up to a day before the fact that you've submitted the rules consent form is reflected on Blackboard. But that's how you know. If you see numbers on Blackboard, then you've done okay. Now, speaking of Blackboard, I use it as little as possible because I hate it for various reasons, but I need to use Blackboard for certain things, including your grades. Because of FERPA issues, I'm required to give you your grades somewhere where only you can see them. So you will be using Blackboard for that, and you'll also be using Blackboard to submit some mini reports that we need to do because they need to be plagiarism checked. So those are really the only two uses of Blackboard. This website is also required, though. This is the actual website. This is where you should go day to day to make sure that you've read all current announcements, because sometimes I forget to say something live to the class. If it's on the announcement, though, it's official, so that means you need to keep an eye on the announcements. And always refresh them to make sure that you're getting not just a cached version. All right, so the only thing I want to say about the syllabus, unless you have specific questions, is what most people really care about the first day, which is how you're getting graded. And so I want you to read this whole syllabus, by the way, and I'm not going to give you a copy of it. You don't have to print it out. You can save paper, but read the whole thing. If you do print any of it out, though, what you should print out is the schedule itself, so you can keep an eye on due dates. But there aren't all that many kinds of things you're doing in here for points. Someone in my other section said that Ken said he's counting the lecture as 70% of your grade. Is that right, 70 and 30? Or did he say 60-40? Did he even tell you?
He did say something, but then he said that we had to discuss with the lab professor about how the rest
was. Right, but what I'm saying is the overall grade that you get, you get only one grade in this, A, B, C, D, hopefully all A's. But that overall grade is some combination of lecture and laboratory points. I'm just going to give him one score at the end of the term, reflecting what you did in here. And he's going to combine that with your overall lecture score to give you a grade. And there is some ratio. I think it's either probably 60-40 or 70-30 lecture to lab. But even if it's only 30% lab, that's still a big chunk of your grade. You can't blow off lab and do well. My point, though, is whatever the overall percentage is that the lab counts towards your total grade, these percentages are within that percentage. So in terms of your overall grade, it would be 35% times whatever the percentage is of lab that would count for your total grade. All right, and notice there's only three things that count in this lab for points. You're going to be doing some mini reports. That's the bulk of the laboratory points. And specifically, you're going to do four of these things. Have you read about them already on the website? Okay. The information's already up there, so you need to make sure you, under laboratory exercises, which is where you should already have gone to print the stuff out you need for today. But anyway, there's a description of the mini reports. Now, these mini reports are truly mini reports. You're not doing full-blown reports. Other courses might require you to do a full research-type papers, meaning in the style of journal articles. So with all the traditional sections, you know, title, abstract, introduction, materials and methods, results, discussion, literature cited. That's true for these mini reports as well, but you're not doing a full version of each section. There are explicit instructions in the mini report thing, which is why you need to read that as soon as possible. But they are truly mini in the sense that you're limited to one page. This whole thing needs to fit on one page. So they're not very long. Just follow instructions explicitly to maximize your score on those. And you want to maximize your score on everything, but especially those, because combined they are 60% of what you do in here. All right, almost the rest of it, 35%, are my quizzes. And this is the only day that you should feel comfortable assuming that there isn't a quiz. There will be a quiz every meeting from now on. And importantly, that's going to be exactly at 1:30. Okay, so you can't be late at all. Or it's going to be a drastic reduction of points. So make sure you get here no later than 1:28, say, so that you can have everything situated, stuff put away, ready to take the quiz right at 1:30. I say that because the way the lateness works is that if you come in at 1:30, you're already late. And it'll be 10% off of your score for every minute or fraction of a minute thereafter. So 1 second after 1:30 is 10% off. A minute and 1 second, 20% off, and so on. Right? Obviously, after you're 9-plus minutes late, you can't take it because no matter what you get 100% off. So don't be late at all because that can really cut into your grade. Especially considering these quizzes, I usually make them, I would say an average is 8 questions. 8 to 10 usually, but more often than not, it's 8. Well, just getting one of 8 questions wrong really cuts into your grade quickly as well, right? So don't jeopardize what are already probably going to be your least favorite part of the course as far as points are concerned. They'll be the lowest scores of the three things I anticipate them to be. They don't have to be, but they usually are. Don't do anything to make them lower than they already are probably going to be just by getting things wrong. Now, another thing that's important about these quizzes is that this syllabus, by the way, is, well, the first page I wrote, and then it says that everything hereafter is common to all the sections. So Ken wrote all this stuff that we're looking at right now. And notice he says that the quizzes will be 50% previous week and 50% current week stuff. That's not actually true in my case. All the instructors write their own quizzes. My quizzes will be more than 50% from the previous week. Sometimes a lot more than 50%. But there will still always be some question or questions about what you're doing that day. And since you can't afford to miss any of these, that means you can't afford to come in not having read what you're going to do for that day. Read ahead, read through the manual, keep an eye on the schedule. Always know what you're doing in the manual because we don't go in order. For instance, we're not doing exercise 1 today, we're doing exercise 2. You need to know that ahead of time. Read through the thing, especially the background information. You don't memorize how many milliliters of something you're going to add to something else. Don't memorize the procedure. Know generally what you're going to do procedure-wise, but read through it just for the sake of answering any quiz questions that apply to that. Those kind of questions, the current day questions, I will make easier as long as you've read through it. You should be able to do those. The ones from the previous week, I'll make more specific, and they're more challenging, and that's because you've already listened to me explain things from the previous week. And so the really important thing for studying well on those is not only having read and done what you were supposed to do last week in the manual, but even more importantly, listening to my recordings. Because every time I address the class, I'll be recording, which I am right now. And so you'll have those recordings will be posted by the time you leave, usually. And if I ever forget and you see that there's no lecture posted, email me immediately because that just means that I don't realize it. And until a student tells me that, it's not going to appear. But anyway, don't skimp on listening to the recordings. A lot of people don't want to take the time to listen to the recordings because you have to sit through it again. But I intentionally write my quiz questions, most of them, at least the ones from the previous material, straight from what I tell you in class, which isn't always anything to do with the manual. It's just stuff that I think is important and relevant that week. All right. So take the time to make notes, write notes whenever I'm talking live, just like you would in a lecture, but also make even better notes when you listen to the recordings at home for the sake of doing well on these quizzes that add up to 35% of your lecture score or lab score. Okay? Now, the Mendelian genetics problem set, I'm not even going to mention. It's 5%, but it's in the future, so don't worry about it yet. That's the only thing you're doing, though. Notice that you're not handing anything in week to week other than the quiz that I give you right at the beginning. But that does not mean as soon as you're done with the quiz, you can leave. You'll not be allowed to remain in the class if you do that. It does mean that the things that you are scheduled to do, which are the lab exercises from the manual mostly, you do have to do those even though you don't have to hand anything in for them. You need to demonstrate to me before you leave that you have done them, either by staying the whole time and sometimes you don't even get finished, right? Obviously, you can leave when the 2 hours and 45 minutes is up. But if you work really efficiently as a group and you get through it all, it's fine if you want to leave early, but don't do so before showing me that you've actually gone through it all. That's why you have to bother to do it, to prove that you've done it, basically, in order to remain in the class. But all the stuff that you generate, all the stuff you write down by doing these procedures, you're keeping, you're showing it to me to show that you've done it, but you keep it for yourself in order to bolster your knowledge and help you on the quizzes, maybe. All right? It's not for points, though. Everyone understand the breakdown? Anyone care about anything else as far as how the class works? Yeah.
What kind of quizzes are they? Are they short answer?
They're a mix. There will be roughly half multiple choice and half very short answer. I mean, no blue book answers, just a sentence or something. Yeah, that's the only kind of questions I ever use. Anything else? All right, well, then I have to give you a quick safety song and dance because I have to do that officially for everyone. If you've had other lab courses, it's the same thing. Safety's a lot of common sense, basically, but certain things we need to say for sure. For instance, that's a violation, I have to say. We can't have any food or drink out. So if you have a bottle, most people don't want to drink in labs. I mean, eat in labs, but a lot of people want to drink. I can't let you do that, though. I can't let you have it out. So you have to either keep it in the bag, or I'll let you put it on one of those shelves. And if you put it on one of those shelves, I'll even let you go over there and drink it right there. But you have to stay there, put it right back on the shelf. You can't drink where you are. And that's a big deal to the people that could pop in at any time and check up on us. So no food or drink. You also have to have closed-toed shoes, at least from now on. If you don't today, I'm not going to dock you anything. But that's a big thing that people care about as well. And it can be easy to forget about when it's still warm out. So at least bring closed-toed shoes if you don't want to wear them all day. To try to force you to remember to do that, I'm going to give you a zero for your quiz if you don't have closed-toed shoes. Because I'm not really even supposed to let you stay. So just don't let that happen either. That can cut into your grade as well. There are eye washes at each of these sinks you need to be aware of, which pull out if you need to. And if you get something in your eye, wash them well. Wash them for a lot longer than you'd think you'd have to. Actual minutes, not just seconds. Of course, you really shouldn't get something in your eye if you're using goggles, which you don't have to continuously in here, but sometimes you might have to. When you're instructed to, make sure you're wearing goggles. You don't necessarily have to bring your own. It's fine if you do, but we'll have some here if you want to use ours. There is also a fire extinguisher there on by the door. Know where it is. And we might, there's a shower too, right here. Never seen the shower used, but it's there if you need it. Possibility of a fire alarm is not all that great, but it has happened to me. Even if it's a drill, though, we need to take it seriously and leave. I need to be the last to leave, though. So that means when you do leave, don't just leave campus. Stick around until I make sure that you're still alive, which means we need to meet at a certain place, right? And let's just meet in the just south of the gravel that's next to the bike racks, just between here and the library. Just meet there and wait for me to get a head count, and then we'll deal with it. I also need to say that if any of you has any difficulty navigating the stairs alone, you should tell me so we can deal with that situation. If not, everyone just goes down the stairs. Okay? Now, if you're pregnant or think you might be pregnant, you might want to tell me, and that way I can give you a list of chemicals that you might be exposed to by being in this lab. You can give your doctor, for instance, or whatever you want to make decisions about. If we are generating waste in here, which we don't necessarily, but this compared to a lot of courses, we don't really generate all that much waste. But anything that's not pure water, and today you're using pure water, so today is the exception. You're allowed to put things down the sink today. But any other time, even if it's just food-colored water and you know that it is, there's going to be a designated place for it. You should never assume you can put anything down the sink other than something I've told you you can put down. So if you don't know, just ask before you ever dispose of anything. But usually there will be a proper place to put the waste, and it'll be clearly marked, so just make sure you do that. If you break something, you need to let me know. Don't be afraid to let me know that you've broken something, whether it's a test tube or expensive piece of equipment, whatever. We need to take care of that properly and get it cleaned up if it's glassware that's broken. And also, if you hurt yourself even a tiny bit, you need to let me know so that we can officially deal with that. Now, another violation is we shouldn't have any bags or anything on the floor. So there are some shelves at the ends of these. This one doesn't have a shelf, but all the other tables have shelves on them. Or you can put them over here out of the way, but nothing should be on the floor in the aisles because this is where we walk around. And that's I think, it for the safety, except that you need to sign the assumption of risk form, which I had posted on my site, and I told you on the site that you needed to read it, but you didn't need to print it. You didn't need to print it because you're all going to be signing it on the same sheet. But signing it legally means that you have read it, so if you haven't read it on my site, read it here before you sign it. Anyway, you can't stay in the course without signing it, so I'm going to pass that around. That's the assumption of risk. That is not the rules consent form. It has nothing to do with it. The rules consent form is the electronic one I was talking about before. All right, now, is there any question about anything relating to safety or how we're going to conduct the course? Okay.